Welcome back to another team review here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by Koopa. Koopa, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. We're both in the throngs of this auction startup draft right now as of this recording. And it's helpful looking through all these players, and while you're simultaneously doing a draft, you're like, oh, now that this guy is up in the auction, well, I just researched him, so I know how much I'm willing to bid. And it's always right. Helpful to be doing this stuff simultaneously.
Yep, same here. All right, so today we're going to start with the AFC West, and our first team is going to be the Denver Broncos. So obviously head coach Sean Payton, offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi, key players who left. So we had a couple players that left them this offseason, and Russell Wilson obviously was cut and released, was signed with the Steelers. Jerry Jeudy was traded, and they lost their center in free agency and Lloyd Cushenberry. Targets and vacated air yards, so they're losing 43 targets and 292 yards. See, I don't know how, because with losing Jeudy, I think it'd be a lot more than that. So I wonder if they didn't count trades, or maybe this article that I'm looking at isn't fully updated. But I would imagine Jerry Jeudy had a lot more targets and yards than that. So, but let's start with the quarterbacks here first. Go ahead, Koopa, and knock out the quarterbacks.
Yeah, so they drafted Bo Nix at the 112 this year, and it sounds like he is Sean Payton's guy for the future. It's who he's essentially resting the rest of his career on at this point. And then they've got Jarrett Stidham, who was their backup from last year, who is still around. And then they also traded for Zach Wilson. And so they have Zach Wilson on there. Last season, they kept two on the initial 53-man. I could potentially seeing them keeping all three of these guys, because they definitely aren't going to let Bo Nix miss the team. And Zach Wilson, I think they traded for, and I think he's somebody that if you ended up dropping him to waivers, that he would be somebody that some other team is going to claim. And so then it's really just, hey, Jarrett Stidham, like, I think they probably like him enough with the fact that he was the guy that was coming in towards the end of last season and starting some games when they decided to bench Russell Wilson. So I realistically think that they keep all three of these guys. In terms of for fantasy purposes, it's interesting looking at ranks at this time of year, because Bo Nix is currently ranked as the quarterback 31, and I think that's just more of uncertainty as to whether he starts day one or not. I think if we knew he was starting day one, then okay, we'd be more likely to say, yeah, let's put Bo Nix probably up in that like quarterback 20 range or something like that. But I remember hearing something that this quarterback room right now is supposedly a three-way battle for the starting job week one. I think that's going to narrow down hopefully rather quickly. I would not like to see that carry on all through the preseason, because if that did, that's just not a good look for the team. You go the whole, hey, if you have more than one quarterback, you actually have none. Like somebody needs to be declared the starter here. I personally would love to see Bo Nix just take that starting role. He starts from day one, have no expectations. But I could also see either Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson end up being that guy. You give Bo Nix a little bit more time to get used to the NFL, especially with some of the things that are concerns coming from college in terms of the types of passes he threw and things like that. But I also think that the fact that he didn't do a ton of the like true what I would call like the NFL style quarterback throws is also potentially the reason that Sean Payton wanted him, because Sean Payton seems to thrive in systems that don't look like your more traditional NFL system. Go back to his time with Drew Brees, like him having so many, just relying entirely on the short game there. Like that was something you didn't really see a whole lot in the rest of the NFL. So I could see him doing something like that with Bo Nix too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be Bo Nix day one. I think for me, I would still like another veteran quarterback here. Like Stidham's okay, but he hasn't been in the league that long. It's, I mean, he's probably been like 5 or 6 years now, but he doesn't have a ton of playing experience. Zach Wilson is definitely not somebody I want mentoring my quarterback. And I've kind of looked at a lot of quarterback situations, and there's still one really solid quarterback that's available in free agency, and that's Ryan Tannehill. And I think that this would be a great spot for Tannehill to land if he's okay accepting a backup role and helping out a young guy like Bo Nix. I think that would be a good fit here to roll with Nix, Tannehill, and Stidham, and just move, cut your losses on Zach Wilson, or maybe, you know, keep four quarterbacks. I don't know what they would do, but I think we've gone through the Zach Wilson experience, and I think Bo Nix, if he's going to succeed, he's going to need a mentor here. So I would like to see that. Let's take a look at some Brugler highlights on Nix real quick. So overall, Nix gets in trouble when he plays loose with his technique and his eyes speed up on him, but he understands where to go with the football, and his scrambling can give defenses fits. Though it feels unlikely that he will ever rank among the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, he has the tools to become a middle-of-the-road starter. His PFF grade last year was 93. He was 361 of 467 attempts, 4,454 yards, 45 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions, 77.3 completion percentage, 92.7 passing grade, intermediate 94.7 grade, deep ball grade 95.5. So really good on the deep balls last year as well. Under pressure, I think this one is the most telling, 91.2, which I've looked at a lot of these other quarterbacks, PFF grades for that, and they're not anywhere close to 91.2. So Bo Nix, really good there. ADOT was only 6.8 yards, 999 deep ball yards, 749 yards on screens, which was first in the country. So that's a lot of the talk about him. Oh, it's all a lot of screens and all this, you know, short passes and stuff, but I mean, it's still pretty good. I like that he does know where to go with the football. Once he learns the offense, he knows where to go. He knows where his reads are at. He's going to be a distributor in the NFL. He's never going to be some guy who's going to, you know, be Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes and, you know, light up the scoreboard or anything like that. He's just going to be a distributor, kind of like a Brock Purdy type. Just get the ball in your playmaker's hands and go ahead and go do it. So I'm excited to see what Nix can do. I just wish they had a little bit better receivers for him, but we'll get into that here in a minute. So running backs, we'll talk about them real quick. Javonte Williams is the starter right now. His PFF grade last year was only 63.3 coming off that major knee injury, 51st of 59th among the running backs. Samaje Perine, he was 31st of 59, PFF grade of 71.3. Jaleel McLaughlin is still there. Audric Estime from Notre Dame, who they drafted in the fifth round. Tyler Beatty is still there. And Blake Watson, one of my favorite UDFAs this year, from Memphis, they picked up as well. And then last year, they kept 3 running backs and 1 fullback on the initial 53-man roster. So just kind of looking at that, I think this year it's going to be four running backs they keep. It's going to be Javonte, McLaughlin, Estime, and it's going to be between Perine and Watson for me. I could see them cutting Perine loose and going with Blake Watson if Blake Watson is as good as I think he's going to be. So that'll be a really interesting battle to see what the Broncos do here at running back. What are your thoughts on the running backs this year for them?
Yeah, So Javonte Williams was kind of weird to me when you're looking at it last year. Like, yes, it is his first year back from that horrible knee injury that included an ACL. I think there was other ligaments as well involved in that. But usually what you would want to see of a running back coming off of an ACL is that, yeah, their efficiency isn't going to be as good at the beginning of the season. And as the season goes on, it gets better. Well, what we saw was the exact opposite. At the beginning of the year, his efficiency was decent, and then they took away a bunch of snaps from him, and then by the end of the year, he wasn't on the field as much. Like, at the beginning of the year, he was like a 60-70% snap share. By the end of the year, his efficiency seemed to be about the same. His number of touches was down, and he was only on the field for like 40% of the snaps. So I don't know exactly what to get out of that in terms of, like, I felt like Javonte Williams is by far the best running back in this room, but it seems like the Broncos might not view him as the best running back in the room. They might view him as much closer to their other guys in terms of their Samaje Perine, Jaleel McLaughlin, Audric Estime, Blake Watson crew. And if that's the case, like, then they might end up having all of these guys that are just going to cannibalize touches from each other. Nobody's going to really stand out. And we're going to go through the rest of this team, but that's one of the things that I am most concerned about with this team is, like, I don't know. You want to look at, for fantasy purposes, who is going to stand out on this team. And as we're going through, I don't necessarily know who is going to stand out. I'm seeing a lot of committees. I'm seeing a lot of just, like, hey, guys that I would rate rather similarly. And that's the same thing with all these running backs. Right now, like, fantasy projection wise, Javonte Williams is ranked as RB29. Like, if you're a start two running back league, that means that he's not even worthy of being in one of your two running back spots. He's a flex player. And this is potentially the best player on this team from a fantasy purpose for the next year. And that's just not really... That's worrying in terms of, hey, either I'm going to think that this offense is going to do well, which means someone has to step up, or the more I look at this team, I'm like, I'm not convinced this offense is going to do well, in which case I don't want to have anybody, because even if I choose the right guy, he's still not going to make an impact for me.
And I just kind of looked it up while you were talking here. This is Javonte's last year with the Broncos currently right now. His contract is up at the end of 2024. So they obviously drafted Estime. They brought in Watson as a UDFA. So we'll kind of see what happens there. I'm interested to see what happens with Estime and how they use him. But I think with a full off season of actually being healthy and not rehabbing is going to help Javonte. I still really like the talent on him. So I'm going to give him, you know, this year, and we'll see what happens. Like, I'm not going to completely fade him, because I could think he can come back and do really well this year. So we'll see what happens. Some quick highlights here on Estime real quick. Overall, Estime has the build and run power of a downhill grinder, but the vision and cut acceleration of a smaller back, giving him RB1 potential for an NFL team. He's best in a gap scheme. His body type, run talent, and promise on passing downs are reminiscent of former Seattle Seahawks running back Chris Carson. So he had a PFF grade of 94.2 last year at Notre Dame, which is outstanding. 209 carries, 1,341 yards, 18 touchdowns, 17 catches on 17 targets for 142 yards. And his grades were the same in a zone and gap scheme, 90.6. 892 yards after contact were ninth best in the country, and 64 missed tackles forced were tied for 19th. Obviously a big power pack, always keeps his legs churning. His burst, though, is very middling. He's never going to break away from somebody or anything like that. But he's going to be a good back. Like, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be somebody that, you know, in a committee, and I'm not going to say he's going to be a full-time, you know, workhorse starter, but in a committee, he's going to be that power back, that guy that's going to get the short yards, be the goal line back, and he's going to do pretty good. So I've drafted not a ton of Estime. He's kind of, people have taken him before me and whatnot, but I have a couple shares to at least where I'm happy with him right now. So wide receivers, how about you go with those, Koopa?
Yeah, so we've got number one of Courtland Sutton. By far the best wide receiver in this room. He's going to be the number one wide receiver for the Broncos. Then you got Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, Tim Patrick, and then Lil Jordan Humphrey, Brandon Johnson, Jalen Virgil, Devon Vale, Philip Dorsett, David Sills, and Michael Bandy. So Josh Reynolds, he had a PFF grade of 70.1, and he was 50th overall. Marvin Mims, PFF grade of 63.1 for 76th. I think those two guys probably end up being the number two and number three, at least at the start of training camp, if not week one. And then you're potentially looking at Troy Franklin, who was a 2024 fourth round pick, and Tim Patrick, who's coming off an ACL tear, and then I think it was the year before had tore his Achilles or something like that. He's essentially not been able to play for a couple of years. And those guys are probably looking at fighting for that fourth wide receiver spot. And you could potentially see one of these other guys coming in competing for the fifth wide receiver spot. I know that Brandon Johnson had some weeks towards the latter half of the season that where he, at least statistics wise, looked decent. Little Jordan Humphrey, he had his weeks at the beginning of the year and then they never really used him again. I think he's more of on the way out. And then the other guys, I think, just end up being it being fodder. So I see them look more realistically, probably keeping five wide receivers on this roster. I don't necessarily, if they want to try and stretch it to a sixth, like maybe they like all of Sutton, Reynolds, Mims, Franklin, and Patrick, and they still want to keep Brandon Johnson. I could see them doing a sixth, but I realistically think that they're going to cut somebody out of that crew and only keep five.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They kept only four last year, so I'm thinking five is probably going to be right this year. I know they really, really love Tim Patrick. So if he shows that he's healthy, I think he'll make the team. Obviously, Franklin, Mims, Reynolds, and Sutton would probably be the other four that I'm going to go with. I could see a six because I mean, little Jordan Humphrey, Brandon Johnson have done good there. They also drafted Devon Vale in the seventh round, so. I think that's the situation is wide open. I think there's even a possibility still that Courtland Sutton ends up getting traded here over the summer still. So I think that's a possibility since he hasn't shown up to any of the mini camp stuff so far. So some quick highlights here on Franklin and Vale. So we'll start with Troy Franklin first. Overall, Franklin's polish and catch consistency must improve, but he can be a big play weapon before and after the catch because of his linear twitch and gliding acceleration. He projects as a field stretching Z receiver similar to DJ Chark. So he had an 84.9 PFF grade last year at Oregon, 81 catches on 114 targets, 1,383 yards, 14 touchdowns. He played 439 pass snaps last year. 80 of them were in the slot, 355 were on the outside. 87.3 receiving grade. He had nine drops. So that's why that line from his bio is in there. Nine drops is fucking pitiful. He's got to improve on that. That's why I'm thinking he's probably only going to be like the fourth receiver this year because I just don't see that being corrected this quickly, but we'll see. 6.6 was his yak, which was tied for 99th. 12.8 ADOT, which was tied for 180th. That's just some of the screen catches and the shorter catches from that Oregon offense. He had 14 deep catches on deep balls, 558 yards on those. 15 slot catches for 232 yards. He also had 14 screen catches, but he only gained 91 yards on that. But I just wanted to point that out. I haven't really done those for some of the other guys, but I just wanted to point out some of his screen catches and yards. Now on to Devon Vale real quick too. Overall, Vale will have trouble creating quick pockets of separation versus NFL coverage, but he can stretch the field vertically and has rangy ball skills that won't force the quarterback to be pinpoint accurate. He is a potential 4 or 5 receiver and adds some return ability. So that's some of the highlights there on their rookie wide receivers. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the tight ends. So Adam Trautman is the current starter. Last year, he had a PFF grade of 53.2, which was 57th of 72. Greg Dulcich is there. He's had just a mirage of injuries since he's come into the league. Their 2022 third round pick. Sean Payton didn't seem like he liked him very much last offseason, and he was pretty much hurt the whole year. Not somebody I'm very believing in. If you can trade Greg Dulcich, I'm go ahead and I'm trading him for whatever I can get right now. Lucas Kroll is still there. That's a guy from the Saints that I believe Peyton had his last year as a UDFA and brought him over. And Lucas Kroll is one of those high RAS score type guys. So he's one that I've kept an eye on for a couple years. He hasn't gotten the chance to play until last year, late in the year, and he actually made some plays for the Broncos last year. So I think he's going to make the team. Nate Adkins and Dylan Leonard, 2024 UDFA out of Georgia Tech, and Thomas Yasin, they also have as well. They kept four tight ends on their initial 53 last year. They've gotten rid of a couple of those guys. So I think this year it's probably going to be Trautman, Dulcich, and Kroll would be my three tight ends. What do you got on the tight ends, Cooper?
I think I agree that it's going to be Trautman, Dulcich, and Kroll. They seem the obvious three out of this crew. The interesting thing is how Dulcich, in terms of the fantasy community, he is way higher than you would think in terms of the fact that like our lads is saying, hey, he's going to be the backup. So that's a huge thing to watch out for. And realistically, even if Dulcich is ends up being the starter, like in the fantasy community is right, like the fantasy community is currently ranking him tight end 38. In terms of dynasty ranks, he's tight end 25. Like, neither of those are exciting to me. And the fact that some of the NFL people are saying, hey, Dulcich isn't even the starter, that if he loses the starting job to Troutman, like officially on the depth chart, then his value is going to zero. So if you have that opportunity to get out of him right now, I would 100% do it. Lucas Kroll is an interesting dark horse just because I don't necessarily see Adam Trautman as being a guy that's going to do a lot for fantasy. So if you have one of those like extremely high tight end premium leagues, maybe you did pick up Lucas Kroll towards the end of last year, but Lucas Kroll is somebody that I would potentially consider if like you've got one of those, it's 3 points per reception and it's best ball sort of things. Like that's a spot where Lucas Kroll might be someone that I just stash on the end of my roster just to see what happens in the lead up to the season.
Yeah, I could see that this year for their tight ends as well. But like you said, I would move on from Greg Dulcich. I'm done on that experiment. So offensive line. So they actually had the seventh best offensive line last year, which kind of surprised me when I looked at this. Their best player was Garrett Bowles, the left tackle. Bowles was excellent in pass protection, earning an 83.8 pass blocking grade that ranked sixth among all offensive tackles last year. So that was good. He's back at the left tackle spot this year. 75.9 was his PFF grade, 19th of 81. So obviously really good pass blocking, run blocking leaves a little to be desired there. So hopefully he can fix that up a little bit. They brought in Matt Pert, free agent signing from the Giants as his backup. Left guard is Ben Powers, their PFF grade last year of 61.5, which was 30th of 79, so pretty decent. Nick Gargiulo, their 2024 seventh round pick, is going to be the backup. Some highlights on him. Overall, Gargiulo needs to play with more consistent balance through contact for longer sustained engagements, but he is a fluid, efficient mover with a quick processor and position versatility. He can earn a backup role for a zone heavy scheme. So, like the fit there. Their center is Luke Wattenberg, a 2022 fifth round pick, and they also have Alex Forsythe from last year, a 2023 seventh round pick. They lost their center, obviously, to free agency. This center position is definitely a big need for them. So if there is I think there's a couple centers still available in free agency. I wouldn't be surprised if they go hunting in there. Right guard was Quinn Meinerz, PFF grade last year of 83.7, which was third of 79 qualified guards. So Quinn Meinerz, huge year for them. One of their best draft picks that they've had in this regime. Backup is Calvin Throckmorton, a free agent signing from Tennessee last year. And the right tackle is Mike McGlinchey, who they paid a lot of money to Sean Payton's first year. He had a PFF grade last year of 67.5, which was 39th of 81. So they need him to pick it up a little bit with the amount of money they gave him. And Quinn Bailey is the backup. Returners, I'll let you go ahead and take that, Koopa.
Yeah, so Marvin Mims is the kick returner and punt returner returning from last year. I fully expect to see him reprising that role. I would actually, we were talking about the potential for Courtland Sutton to be traded. I think that Courtland Sutton could end up getting traded if Troy Franklin looks really good. I'm not necessarily seeing Marvin Mims as somebody that could become a number two wide receiver. If he does, I would see them potentially moving him out of the kick returner role. But I personally don't see that from him. I see him as more of a number three wide receiver, somebody that can really stretch the field, but that isn't going to be what you want from a more outside kind of guy. And so I'm pretty confident that Marvin Mims is going to end up being that kick returner and punt returner. So if you've got leagues that give you return yards for those, you're expecting to see the kick return spike. And the fact that Marvin Mims, at least right now, he's looking like he's going to be the number three wide receiver on this team. I think that he's a solid candidate to be somebody that could reasonably be flexed in your leagues, assuming you have those parameters. But if you don't have get kick return or punt return yards, like I'm not going like it's you're arguing the flex for the best wide receiver on this team, and so you would not be arguing it for the third.
All right. So overall, our final thoughts here on Denver. I mean, for me, I think Bo Nix is probably going to struggle a little bit his first year. I would expect some inconsistencies, but I do like his accuracy, his ability to kind of pick up offenses pretty quickly, know where to go with the ball. So I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think. Like, if he is, you're ranking the 32 quarterbacks this year, I don't think he's going to finish like 31st or 32nd. I think he'll be a little bit higher than that, maybe in the like 25 to 28 range, especially with his rushing ability. Like, he is not a zero rushing the ball, so he's going to give you some fantasy points that way. Running backs is really going to be interesting with Javonte Williams. I am interested to see what Estime can do. I know they really like Jaleel McLaughlin as well, so that will be interesting. Wide receivers is literally wide open. I think that's going to kind of make or break this team. Like, if they actually get some decent wide receiver play, they might be pretty decent. But I wouldn't be shocked too if this team is, one of the teams that's in the top, three or five for next year, as far as draft picks as well. So what are your thoughts here on the Broncos here to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head that like it realistically, I think the problem with Bo Nix's production is going to be that the passing targets that he has to throw to just aren't really there for him. The best like Courtland Sutton I think is a solid NFL receiver, but I don't think he can carry this passing attack on his shoulders. And I'm not sure that Josh Reynolds and Marvin Mims are up to the task of keeping it up for him. If Troy Franklin defies it, like if he's what the fantasy community thought he was before the draft and not what the NFL teams thought he was in the draft, I could see this passing attack looking a lot better. But the fact that Troy Franklin fell to the fourth round, like kind of makes me think, hey, there's something up here the NFL does not like. And even the fact that the Broncos let him fall to the fourth round, like the way we were talking, like he could go early part of the second round, and then you would think, oh, if he was falling, the Broncos would have snagged him in the third, and they didn't. They waited until the beginning of day three to get him, and so I just think that you're looking at all these targets, and it's like I'm not sure that this offense is going to have just the talent it needs to be that successful.
Yep, I'm with you on that. All right, so that is it for the Denver Broncos on this one. We will see you guys next time with the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs.